I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up? And welcome to the My Hero Academia After Show. We're talking episode 21, otherwise known as 84, Deku versus Gentle Criminal. I mean, they had a fight.
Different fight, but...
we're going to talk about what happened in the episode as well as female mangakas, because today is International Women's Day.
Woohoo!
And as well as our special segment, our Word of the Day, which will also be tied into that as well. My name is Carrie Lane. I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hey, everyone. Veronica Valencia here.
I like that the clapping's still going.
I know.
It's like, fanfare.
A lot of praise today.
Hi. I'm doing my hair flip with my non-existent short hair. we do have a live chat going, so if you're joining us live, welcome. And if you're watching it later, and if you're watching live as well, make sure to click that thumbs up button, subscribe, and comment down below your thoughts on the episode and how it's going. Thank you so much for everybody who's been commenting on previous videos. It's really fun to see your thoughts on the episode. And thank you for not spoiling anything, because we're only talking about the show, not the manga, though it's been fun to see some pictures from other characters that we haven't met later that I'm like, oh, cool. But no spoilers, so thank you. All right, what did we first... I mean, we kind of said it, but Veronica, thoughts on this episode?
It was a fine episode. Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily fillery, because it's definitely leading up to something bigger and better. But I think I'm just slightly starting to grow impatient, because they've been teasing this school festival and this performance. They've also kind of been teasing this big... you know, break-in of UA with Gentle Criminal and the Brava, and this episode didn't give us really either of those two things. So it was a fine episode. I enjoyed learning about Gentle Criminal's quirk, but I'm kind of ready for some action, whether it's like real action with the fighting, or even if it's just like a fun episode of the school festival.
Agreed. It's not a filler, but it is one of those. I'm like, okay, come on, just get to the school festival already. Like,
yeah.
Let's get going. I like how we're not exactly anxious. We're more impatient for the next, like, bit of action to go down. So I like how it's cute, though, seeing everybody kind of being, they're nervous, excited energy, and they're just like, oh, my gosh. Like, let's figure out how to channel that. I like Jiro's like, okay, no, this is the point where we just have fun. Like, we've done as much prep as we can. So I thought that was really kind of cute. So far, everything's looking pretty good. So that's good. Though that frayed rope...
Oh my gosh, that could have been so dangerous.
Right?
I know. But I like the fact that I love seeing how hard at work they are and how excited they are. Even like the slight comedy of Bakugo, you know, even he really cares.
Yes.
In his own,
not
like,
wearing his shirt either.
In his own crazy way. He's super into it.
I like the matching shirts, and he's like,
they're cute.
Like, you gotta put it on. He's like, I guess so. It's like when you go on family vacation or something, everybody has to wear the same shirt. I think he's not as excited.
I also really love, and I know we've talked about this, I love seeing the passions that everybody has outside of, you know, wanting to be a pro hero. I love seeing the passion in Mina, who wants to, you know, really make the dance one. I love seeing the passion in Jiro with wanting to do her best, not only with teaching everybody. You know, she wanted to make notes for everybody.
Her notes
which was
were
so cute.
Expansive. I was like, damn, girl, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I loved how she really put forward the initiative and how, you know, everyone was so excited. She was like, just refer to your notes. And you have everyone referring to their notes. It was cute.
Well, it rounds them out as characters. They're not just like, oh, I like food. And it's like, no, they have hobbies and interests, and this is what they get excited about. Or the essentially joke/truth that they're talking about Mina. They're like, oh my gosh, she's like really serious as an like instructor for us. But yeah, that makes sense. She's taking it very seriously and wants them to do a good job, which is what you need as like a choreographer.
Yeah.
So that was cute to hear like those moments in the show.
Yeah. We have to remember that like these, they have their goals, they have their ambitions, but they're also still young adults, and they have things besides those ambitions that they enjoy. And I like the fact that, like you were saying, Carrie, we're getting to see these characters more well-rounded and seeing what they like outside.
Yeah. With Hatsume delivering the gloves with Deku and All Might, that was cool. And I like the, which we see later, making sound effects for those listening, of the essentially the wrist part getting bigger and helping to funnel that energy. I like that we're seeing a little bit more progression and more abstract ways for Deku to use his abilities, which I think that's probably the most interesting thing sometimes with the quirks is seeing a more non-traditional way to use a quirk.
Yeah.
Besides just like, I can hit something hard. You're like, all right, well.
It's kind of interesting with Deku because obviously I like the fact that he has a lot of these like quirk enhancing kind of gear because mm-hmm. it definitely helps him. But he has to be very cautious kind of in listening to All Might that he can't rely on them too much. And mm-hmm. we know that these are a big help in Deku not breaking his body over and over again. But he also, and in time, I'm sure he'll figure out how to use his quirk without those modifiers in a way that doesn't damage his body.
Yeah, they should be like training wheels. They're getting him started, but you need to graduate past that point. Because with the gloves right now, it's like, well, what would happen if they fell off, got taken from you? Could you still do what you need mm-hmm. to do? And we don't know that yet, or at least right now he can't. So
I'm sure that he could. Yeah. He just wouldn't be completely fine at the end of it. He would definitely take some damage.
Yeah. We got a couple people in the chat. Dragon Video says, gentle is the mix of Deku and Mirio. Okay. And then Marcus says, I could see that in La Brava's Ochako. And I'm like, why are we comparing them? I'm a little...
I think it's more so of their personalities because they don't fit the role of villains that we have been seeing throughout this entire series. Yeah. They're a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Thank you. Please Clap says, so for anyone who watched the movie, here are the gloves that Deku has in Heroes Rising. I like that.
See, I like that too because
that's cool.
I know before, and not to like get too far off the series, but I know when we talked about the movie, there was a couple of spoilers that that if you hadn't caught up on the manga, that would be in the movie. But I guess they were subtle things like that that, you know, we wouldn't have noticed had we not read the manga. They weren't super like, oh my gosh, that really spoiled it. The gloves, that's not a huge spoiler.
I don't think I even really noticed, maybe. I was like, okay, cool. Anime often does this where they drop you in different parts of information and you later get filled in. So you just kind of sit there and go, okay. Cool. Like, I know, leave a comment on this if you've watched any anime that does it. But I remember a particular one and it felt like a season. Like, they talked about something that happened and you sat there going, did I miss an episode? But the character tells another character, so that time we did this thing,
that's the explanation. Okay. Yeah.
But anime does that, so we get used to it. Then we get, Deku doing the shopping. Now, at first, I feel this was such a, don't mind this, this is just plot points. Because I know Momo could have made the rope. And they go, no, she's sleeping. We don't want to bother. He could have asked her in the morning, but Deku's like, well, I have to buy some other things. Well, that's convenient, but
that's just Deku wanting to be helpful.
I think he was getting like, and then I don't know if this is really a prediction, but I felt like he was getting like other knick-knacky treats to give to Eri or like friends.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I had that image of like, oh, I have a friend visiting. I want to get them some little things or I don't know. Like it felt important enough that he had to go now because if it wasn't really that important, it's like, can't you just go later?
Yeah. But,
I liked his whole math of like, well, it's 15 minutes away and they open at 8 a.m.
Yeah. And I'll get back in time.
Yeah. He's like, it's fine. That's when he bumps into Gentle and La Brava. And I thought that was funny. They're like stupid disguise of
this.
It was cheesy, like mustache twirl villains.
This is also one of those things in anime where it's like, okay, I'll get behind it, even though it's a little weird how it's like. You know, he stopped because of the tea, you know, the Golden Tips Imperial tea that he was so shocked that no one's ever had.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what sparked Deku to be like, oh, I know you. You're bad. You're evil.
I recognize your voice. It's like, okay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I accept it.
Yeah. I think a lot of times anime, too. Suspension of disbelief, sure. And then that's when we get to essentially the fight. And I liked when Deku is running and it hits the wall of elasticity, essentially. Mm-hmm. The air. Which I was like, wow, this could be a very useful and dangerous quirk.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at it. I was like, this is very useful. It's a very defensive quirk.
Yes.
Not necessarily so much, I think. I mean, it probably could be used in fighting, obviously, but it's a very good defensive quirk is what I would say. And I liked learning about that because we've kind of been he's kind of been teasing about it. It's like, oh, is this like a quirk that's useful or is it?
Yeah, because we didn't know. I mean, I guess knowing now it makes sense because there were a lot of times where he essentially traveled through the air that we didn't quite understand how you could do that. And I'm kind of curious if it would really get into the actual, essentially, physics, I guess, of it. Of do I take a step and how do I make the air become elasticity for me so I can, you know, essentially fly through the air, bounce through the air. And then I assume now he's had enough experience that he can make it can he adjust how much bounces in it? Like, maybe I just want to bounce a little bit, or maybe I want to, like, you know, big trampoline effect. So I don't know. That'd be kind of like, those are interesting things that I wonder if they'll explore, but they might not. We'll see.
I will say though that this kind of sequence that started the whole battle, this like little montage that Deku was going through, I think this was my favorite part of the episode, just because, you know, he is seeing like, oh, here's this guy who's trying to break into UA when we are on super lockdown. He knows the consequences. Mm-hmm. He knows that if anything suspicious were to stir up, that their whole day would be ruined. Their festival would be canceled. And I thought this was very like special and sad, because it's like, here's this villain who is not necessarily super dangerous. You know, he's not a murderer. He's not someone who, you know, wants to do super chaos like all of the other villains we've experienced so far in this series. He just wants to be noticed. But at the same time, he's like at a complete disregard for like these students and what these students have gone through and how they just want a sense of normalcy. He obviously doesn't know that, but that's why I feel like it even strikes an even harder accord with Deku. We obviously know he's someone who takes everything seriously and will jump into the line of action no matter what.
Yes.
But I think this extra hit him hard because it's like, here's our one chance of normalcy. Here's Ares' one chance of normalcy. And here's this guy, well, although not the most dangerous criminal, is going to ruin that for us. And so I really liked kind of getting that sense of the situation.
Oh, yeah. And then actually, I'm glad you said it that way. I like... where to go? Dragon Video said, yes, he is basically a villain magnet, referring to Deku. And I'm like, yes, he seems to find them all the time. Now, that's a question for people watching. Please comment down below. Does that make Gentle a more annoying criminal? Because he is essentially just arrogant. Like
he's not...
You're just being annoying. You're just causing problems for other people.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are just evil and they're out for destruction or world domination, if you want to go really grandiose, you almost go, okay, I get it. And it's like, wow, you're just being an ass. Like,
yeah, he's just, he doesn't have super ill intentions like the other villains, but he's completely disregarding the lives and just the situations of all of everything that entire school has been through.
And I almost... Because that's more mundane, I find that more bothersome of just like, come on, dude. Oh, man. So they get a pretty interesting attempt at fighting, and Deku we get to see a bit more of the cannon blast, which was really kind of cool, essentially an air cannon, because I also like that Gentle thinks, oh, it's fine, that kid can't do anything, and then he gets hit in the back. He's like, whoa. I do like the LaBrava goes, wait, I know who this kid is. Like, this is pretty serious. But...
I wonder if LaBrava and Gentle Criminal could, like, handle getting in trouble if them. Like, this is a weird thing, like, a weird comment, but, you know, it seemed like LaBrava was very cautious of that one bystander. She was like, sir, go, you know, basically telling him, like, go away, you know, stuff is happening over there, but
it's just
filming
a movie.
Yeah, we're just filming something. Yeah. So I wonder if, you know, like, they're taking on a hero right now, and Deku has this whole thing of, like, I called the police, I called the other heroes. I wonder if they could handle kind of getting in trouble and like being considered villains, even though that's not necessarily what their goal is.
I think they were more of a retreat group. Yeah. They're a flight, not fight kind of response.
Okay.
Villain. Yeah, because I don't feel they just don't seem to be that ruthless that they'd want to get their hands dirty, as it were. I think they're more just, ooh, too much trouble. Bye.
Yeah.
Literally,
I can definitely see that.
Bounce. Hey. It's like too many puns for him. But yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they could handle it. Well, I think that's why they picked that area, because they're, you know, they said there's very little hero. Deku says too, like, oh, there's very few hero agencies around here. It was pretty empty. It was really early in the morning. So they planned it. This is true. I like, though, that neither of them want to give up. And yeah. I like that Gentle essentially respects Deku for not wanting to give up. Okay, this was a moment that's a little weird that I don't know if anybody else noticed. So Deku has the beam. And I'm like, dude, just bloop.
Yeah, just like bloop, drop it.
Right there. It's not going to like break anything. It's not going to fall through the building. Nobody's right there. And he's just struggling. He's like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, I could have understand his concern of like, oh, maybe it'll break the gravel or whatever it was on. But yeah. I had that same theory of too of like, you could probably put it down.
Yeah, just bloop. Like, I understand not wanting to go backwards because you can't see if anybody's there. But, like, literally, dude, you can see what's in front of you. Anybody else notice that? Because it was because it went on for a little too long.
Yeah. I feel like it was one of those moments where it's like, he could take the obvious way out. But we want to show that Deku was going to, like, strengthen up and use that one arm attack.
Dig this. I felt this is the Jedi mind trick. Like, just don't pay attention. Then we get... Oh, yeah, we get just a suggestion about LaBrava saying she should use her quirk, but we don't get to see it. And that's...
At this point, I feel like LaBrava is going to be way cooler than Gentle Criminal. Right? She already kind of is way cooler, in my opinion. I think she's slightly more entertaining. But I think she's going to have a very interesting quirk. So they did mention, like, oh, you know, we're going to hack into the system. Like, even Gentle was even kind of like, oh, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to be canceled because we're going to hack the alarm system. Nothing's going to go off. Yeah. Like, don't worry about us.
This is going to be a bigger problem. Chandler in the chat says, referring to Deku, it's like, well, he had to catch it. No, I'm fine with him catching it. It's just he's standing, like, squatting there, and he's doing his, like, powerlifting. I'm like, dude, bro, just drop it. Like, you don't need to hold on to it.
Yeah.
It just went on too long. That was the problem. Of like, if he had only held it, like, oh, man, I got it, and then, like, I need to get rid of it so I can go after the guy, that would have been fine. The old man was behind him. So again, forward. Maybe it's just the way it was shot. I don't know. It's like a movie and you're just like, ooh, that editing was a little.
Yeah.
But anywho. So that kind of wraps up what we get to see in this episode. So not a ton.
It's
a bridge episode. Yeah. It's not filler. It's a bridge. It's like, here, we got this point. Now we're getting to point C. Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely building up to something even bigger and better. Something bigger and better, whether regarding Gentle Criminal and LaBrava, or finally this festival that I hope we see. Honestly, I feel like that might be a season finale thing.
True.
They're teasing it so much, and they've been dragging it out for so long. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised. Finale.
You're like, no! Yeah. All right, so that's a wrap on what happens in episode 21. We're going to hold on to our predictions. We're going to do our quick Japanese word of the day special segment. So since it's International Women's Day, our word of the day is the Japanese word for woman, which is jose.
Jose.
Jose. So in your Romaji spelling, that's J-O-S-E-I.
Yay. I know jose is also the demographic for certain types of manga. You know how you have shoujo and shonen?
Well, that makes sense.
And they're aimed at certain demographics. I know jose and seinen are also demographics. So I guess shoujo would also probably be like young woman.
It's young boy. Not shoujo. I'm thinking shonen. Yeah.
Shoujo would be like young woman.
Makes sense. Nice.
Young girl.
The more you know. Yes. All right. So now the other thing, do prediction before or after?
Let's do predictions now.
Let's do predictions now, because yes, since we're talking about Hero, and then we'll get into our other big segment, because then we'll end on that. You're After Buzz TV. Predictions. Please let the next episode be the school festival.
I want it to be the school festival, so bad. How much?
Please.
It's not going to.
Yes.
I am firmly saying that the next episode will not be the performance, even though I so desperately want it to be. I feel like next episode is going to be one of those, like, very comically overdramatic episodes. Because we saw in the preview, like, LaBrava and Gentle are on the floor crying next to each other.
Oh, it's a little dramatic.
It's a little dramatic. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Gentle is so narrow-minded right now in what he wants to accomplish, and LaBrava has kind of been saying, no, it's okay, we should retreat, like, this is not worth it. I think in the end, he's going to be one of those characters that realizes He doesn't need, like, a number. He doesn't need millions of people who accept him. He just needs a few loyal people who accept him. I feel like that might be the end of his arc. I just get that feeling.
That'd be nice, but I don't... We'll see. I think it'd be nice if they actually run into some real trouble and that make them change.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I am worried about them essentially leaving the door open behind them, a more serious criminal coming and doing damage. So yeah. I'm just like... but yeah, I really hope next episode is School Festival, because it's like, oh, we just, come on. We're like the kids now. We're like, come on, we just want the festival to happen.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I also wonder if that, if Deku is going to be able to, I mean, obviously he'll be able to stop them, but I wonder if anyone else is going to find out about it, or if it's going to be kind of like a secret between the teachers and Deku.
I was kind of wondering that too. It would be nice if it stays self-contained. What do we think La Brava's quirk is? Hacking.
I think she's something to do with like technology, like morphing technology or something like that.
I don't know how it works, but I'm going to go with that,
too. We're going to see. We'll see you next episode.
All right. So that's our thoughts on what will happen next time. Please, no spoilers. All right. So since today is International Women's Day, we're going to talk about female mangakas. Yay! And if, in case you don't know, mangaka is a person who makes manga. So we're a lot of these people are the writer and the artist for some of these series. But some of them maybe just did the art, but these are people that we find very important and influential to the world of manga and anime, because a lot of these titles became huge shows.
Oh, yeah.
So, Veronica,
yes.
take it away.
So I have a few names here, and I need to start with a mangaka who I respect, who I appreciate so much, because her work has been so influential over me in being an anime fan. I would first like to highlight Rumiko Takahashi. She is the creator of Inuyasha, Ranma 1/2, Meizani Koku, and most recently Kyokai no Rine, which has a lot of like Inuyasha-esque like themes in it. She's probably one of the most profitable mangakas because her series are just so popular, and like these are
still beloved,
long-standing series and just so influential. And obviously, like, Inuyasha was my very first anime that I, you know, when I started understanding what anime was. It's kind of what brought me into this world, and so I just appreciate so much that she created such a good story. Her characters are so well-rounded. She's such an amazing storyteller. Her art is wonderful, and, you know, all of her stories are great. So she's definitely, like, one of my top mangakas.
Nice.
Another, and producer Jonathan is definitely going to be helping us with this segment.
Yes.
And he's going to be providing the pictures. So our next mangaka I would like to highlight is Hiromu Arakawa, who is the mangaka of Full Metal Alchemist, which I saw on Twitter that some people were actually very surprised to find out that this series was written by a woman. You know, and it's like,
why are you surprised?
It's like, well, that's the thing. Yeah. Is like, some of these mangakas who I'm going to talk about have written some of the most popular shonen series. I mean, we just talked about Rumiko with Inuyasha.
Come on, and Ranma.
And now Full Metal Alchemist, obviously probably one of the most popular series. Definitely a lot of people's favorites, a lot of people's first. And she wrote this. And I understand the confusion. She goes by Hiromu, but she's like, her real name is Hiromi, but she goes by like a male moniker.
Which happens here too.
Which happens when people think, oh, you're a woman, it's not going to sell because you're a woman. But hey, she wrote a pretty good series.
Yeah, you know, kind of big.
So, yeah. Yes. So can we go on to our next artist, Jonathan? So here we have Jinsei Kataoka, who was the mangaka for Dead Man Wonderland. And once again, I know sometimes, you know, there are a lot of great mangakas who write great shoujo series, but I mean, talk about shonen and, like, violence. I don't even necessarily know if Dead Man Wonderland is a shonen, but
it is so good.
It is so intense.
That's a good manga.
Dark, dark series, and she was responsible for this one.
I also like the style, too.
I love the style. It has a very mature storyline that when you watch it at first, like when you enter the story and you know nothing about it, you're like, oh, I didn't expect this. Oh my gosh.
It's kind of like a cool classic sci-fi dystopian future thing that I was like, yes, I dig it.
Yeah, very dark, very, very crazy. Like, I was not expecting half the things that happened from that series. And I believe she's also the mangaka of Yureka 7, which was also like a very popular kind of like sci-fi type series. And yeah, so she she writes really incredible, like, dark stories. So yeah. they can write anything, these women. Jonathan, let's go on to our next mangaka. Here, okay, so she is another personal favorite of mine. This is Yu Watase. She created stories like Fushigi Yugi, Setas, the Celestial Angel, and also dabbed in some shonen with Arata the Legend. I have read a lot of her manga, especially the Fushigi Yugi series, when we dive into, like, the other priestesses of the gods.
Yeah.
And I, like, some of her stuff was the stuff I watched early on. It's, like, this old, charming, kind of, like, 90s-style anime, 90s, aww, like, that old, yeah, charming kind of art in her manga. I loved her story. She's a very good romance novelist. Oh, so obviously, as, like, yes, a young girl, I was like, yes, please give me this. So her stuff has definitely resonated with me growing up as a young woman, you know, the hopeless romantic in me.
Hey, it's a good one.
Yeah. And I want to go on to our next mangaka. I don't have a picture for her, but her name is Kaoru Tada. I just wanted to give her a shout out because she also created a series that is a personal favorite of mine in my top three. It's called Itazura na Kiss. And this series, I feel, has very influential just because it is a manga, it is an anime, it had, like, a Korean drama, it had a Japanese drama, it had four different adaptations of a movie. Like, this story,
wow,
has been retold since for years since the 90s, and I think that's just very telling of, like, how much these people want to share this story and express it and share it with new generations, you know, keep it going, because it is such a great story. The female lead, you know, she goes through a lot of stuff. Sometimes people will be like, oh, why is she dealing with, you know, kind of like this toxicity, but she is such a hard worker. She is super tenacious, and she's just a really charming female role to root for. And unfortunately, Kaoru Tada passed away in 99, but of course her story still lives on and it has reached the hearts of millions. And finally, I have one more. How can we go without talking about Naoko Takeuchi, who is the beloved creator of Sailor Moon? Now, obviously, we love this woman. She created these are all influential women, but honestly, Sailor Moon, if you ever talk about anime, even for non-anime people, they all mention Sailor Moon. This is a story about girl power. It was such a big thing in the 90s when it came out. You know, obviously, it had its issues
with
censorship,
yeah,
but at the same time, it was a story of all females showing, hey, these women are strong, but they can be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, they have really big hearts, and, you know, it's showing young girls, hey, you can be that great of a, you can be that strong too. You know, it's not just about, you know, young boys. This is a story meant for young girls to show, like, hey, you can do anything. And this is obviously a series that is beloved among many.
It's one, too, that, like, even if you've never watched anime or anything, if you told someone Sailor Moon, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that girl. And, like, they would know what she looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So much
influential,
love,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yay. Nice. Also loving that people are chiming in the chat of some of their favorite mangakas. Please leave comments down below some of your favorites and if we touched upon them. All right, I'm going to go through some of mine real quick. And so first up, I got Bisco Hattori, who is, you know, a little known show, Ouran High School Host Club.
Yay!
Oh, man, this one was, I love the manga, love the show. I like that she has a story where a character, the story involves, like, gender, sexuality, and class, and they handle it so well within the whole story that it's just like, oh, this show and this manga, I loved it so much, and it's just so funny, too.
It's such a good series.
Melts your heart. You're like, aww. So definitely love Ouran High School Host Club. I feel that's also a pretty early good pillar of manga
definitely
and anime
good
for people, and good gateway one for people to watch and enjoy or read. I know I'm kind of going between both because some of these I've read them and watched it. All right, next one. This one I read the little bit of the manga and I love the show. Kazue Kato, who did Blue Exorcist, big fan of that show. That one was a great one. I love the manga. Her style is gorgeous. Also, Time Killers is one of her. It's like a separate manga, and I really enjoyed that as well. Just, it's a similar vibe of style for Blue Exorcist, so if you like that art, definitely check that out. And then next up is a collection of people known as Clamp, so known for Chobits. Love that manga series. Mm-hmm. That was a really good one. Then... So, for those listening, we have a screen up, and he looked up Clamp, but it's showing the object, not the manga. So I bet if you do Clamp with manga, the word manga, you'll find it.
Oh my god!
But this is great.
This is so good. Oh, Jonathan, wow. You make us nice. Laugh.
Oh. So otherwise, Clamp, you may know them for Chobits, Cardcaptor Sakura. That was one I didn't read, mm-hmm. but I loved it as a manga, and it was a great show as a kid. Similar idea where for young girls, like, you can be the hero, but it's also great to have teammates to help you out. And someone, you know, it's just important. Their style is beautiful for through the different stories that they've covered. Also, they did Magic Knights Ray Earth, which is an early favorite for me.
One.
It's like, oh, this one's so cool. Good. And it's like girls and it's magic and they go to this other world and they got superpowers. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And they deal with the elements. Yeah, so these definitely get us fired up. Next one. So this one, Chiho Saito, she's involved with B Papas, which is a group that did Revolutionary Girl Utena. So this is one of my early anime that my friend had a cassette tape of the music and I borrowed VHS tapes to watch Utena. And I have the like big manga collection. And this one was also Be Your Own Prince because it's a girl who goes, wait, prince to save me? No, I'm going to be the prince and save the girl. So it's also early examples of kind of queer characters and how they dealt with it is great. And the show is all the story of it is wonderfully bizarre, the way anime can explore so many different topics and still make it interesting and not too out there, you know. So you're just like, oh, this is so cool. All right, then I got Park Sang-sung, who's actually a Korean mangaka and did Tarot Cafe. This is a really beautiful series as well and just kind of nicely mysterious. And it was one of my early manga collections that I still have. That it's so fun. I think the art style really draws you in at first and then you just read it and you're just like, oh my gosh, this story is great. Then there's Ai Yazawa for Paradise Kiss. Oh my gosh, this show and this manga was so... They're both great. And it's...
There's a live action of that one too, I think, that I watched.
Yeah, it's just so cute and it's a girl and who... It's kind of coming into your own and not... It's good. Staying there on your own two feet. Like, she feels all her only worth is school and this is what I do. And meets these, essentially, outcasts, the artists. And they help her transform into a model for them. Because they're like, mm-hmm. oh, your body and what you look like is perfect for the fashion we make. And so I loved that aspect of it. Then another one, and we're getting deep cuts on some of these manga, which I like. We got Matsuri Akino, who did Pet Shop of Horrors. Oh my gosh, this is such a good dark manga and show. It takes ideas that are, you know, like an eating disorder or something, but makes it into a pet. So it's these parents and or addiction. So these parents, they take home a bunny, but you see it as a person, and they're like essentially, don't feed her after midnight, and they do, and it becomes a problem. And that kind of idea or. You see it as an animal, but it looks like a person too. And it's just really weird and dark. And there's this detective because people are getting murdered because they're doing bad things to the pet, air quote. And yeah, it's just really cool. Also, again, really cool style. Excuse me. And then another one that's a newer one that's still ongoing is Karue Mori, who does A Bride Story. This is a really good set of tales. And it's kind of like... the Silk Road time period, and starts kind of with a girl and getting married, and she's older than her betrothed, and it's kind of an interesting dynamic of having, essentially, she's like, let's say 25 to his 15, and how do you work that out as a relationship? And it's very realistic and normal conversation, and he's just this great person, because it's good, because he could be an horrible person. The art style is so detailed and gorgeous, and I think it's kind of this interesting look at a part of maybe Asian culture that we don't get see as much in, like, when it's strictly Japan.
Yeah.
So I like that. And each story kind of bridges to another person. Like, so if we're sisters, the next story would be your story. And so that's kind of cool to see the other relationships that people go through. And then there's a man who is a... Excuse me, like, he's a not a scientist, he's just documenting it. So you meet him multiple times, so it's kind of cool to get that, like, outside perspective. Mm-hmm. So anyway, those are some of our favorites. Please comment below your thoughts on some of your favorite mangakas and share that so other people can get into these amazing stories. Definitely go check them out at your library, too. I know manga can be very expensive, and that still supports the author. Libraries still support the author, so go check those out there. I know a lot of us are on a budget, but that's a great way to do it. Or share with your friends, which I've done as well.
Don't do it at all.
You're like, those are the options. All right, thank you so much for everybody who joined us in the chat, and thank you so much for watching. Happy International Women's Day. Veronica, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me, Veronica Valencia, on Twitter and Instagram, at @itsme_Veronica_V.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Again, thank you for watching and listening, and we'll see you next week. Sayonara.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.